will never pass for a perfect bride or a perfect daughter. Can it be? I'm not meant to play this part. Now I see that if I were truly to be myself, I would break my family's heart. Who is that girl I see staring straight
The Troy Savings Bank Music Hall will celebrate its reopening with Leah Salonga's stage, screen, and everything in between on Tuesday, December 2nd at 7:30. Salonga is known for her roles on stage and in film. Her Broadway credits include Les Miserables, Flower Drum Song, Allegiance, the revival of Once on This Island, Here Lies Love, Stephen Sondheim's Old Friends, and of course, Miss Saigon, for which she won a Tony Award in 1991. She performed the singing voice for Princess Jasmine in the Disney film Aladdin and the title character in Mulan. Her most recent album is a holiday record called Sounding Joy. Again, Leia will be at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall with stage, screen, and everything in between on December 2nd. Good morning, Leia. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I am well. Thank you very much. I'm just sitting in my apartment in the city and playing video games today. It's a really good one. So it's kind of one worth doing. It's a lot of fun.
So you are coming to Troy Savings Bank Music Hall with stage, screen, and everything in between. So Can you tell us what this concert is, what it entails, and the process of developing this show?
Stage, screen, and everything in between, as the title suggests, features music from the world of the movies and theater, as well as a few other little surprises. But as I perform the show, as I've been performing the show for the last couple of years, I realize I think everything is either from a movie or from a musical, and in many cases, both. So I guess that's the catch-all of the everything in between part of the title. But the process of developing the show, it's usually by committee. I cannot take any solo credit for anything. There was my manager, Josh Pultz, and my musical director, Gerard Salonga. We got together on Zoom one day and got our heads together and figured out what the best music for this program would be. And this is what we came up with. It's been so much fun performing this program. It's challenging, but also really enjoyable. I leave the stage feeling totally energized and very, very happy to be doing it. So it's just been so much fun being on tour with this.
Yeah, and you talked about picking the music, and that's actually a question I have for you, because you have such a big catalog of songs that you can sing. And
right.
I was wondering, is there certain songs that when you are in that process of picking them that you feel almost obligated that you have to include it because the public will want to hear it?
That's right. Yes, there are things that I feel like, you know, the public has an expectation to hear those songs. So we always include a little bit, you know, not the entire repertoire will be composed of that, because there are so many songs that are just so much fun to sing. You know, folks, I think, tend to want to hear the stuff I've done for Disney. There are songs from certain musicals that people want to get to hear. So I make sure to include at least two or three things, so, you know, that people can expect to listen to during a show.
You've been on tour with stage, screen, and everything in between since September. So I was just wondering, what has that experience been like thus far? Do you have any fun stories, any challenges along the way?
Well, it's always a challenge to, you know, negotiate traveling and doing shows, sometimes doing both in the same day. Those are the times when I'm like, okay, I really have to think about how I'm going to negotiate this show, because I'm feeling less than, you know, optimally energized or rested or whatever. And sometimes when, you know, somebody gets sick on the tour, finding quick replacements is a bit of a challenge. And we've had a little bit of that, but nothing too serious. And, you know, the folks that we have been able to hire to replace as subs have just been stellar as well. So it's nice to know that we have a very deep bench, you know, as far as any of the musicians or whatever. And it's just been an incredible tour. Some of the other challenge that we've recently had to face has been the weather. I did one show in San Diego, and it's at the Rady Shell, which is an outdoor venue. And we were all getting weather reports that, oh, it's going to be raining. It's going to be raining. It's going to be raining. And I come from the Philippines, where rain is not that big of a deal. So I'm like, it's just rain. What's the worst that could happen? The wind. The wind was, you know, the wind is what made it challenging. You know, our musical director was having to use clothespins to keep the music on his piano. And I had to have heaters, one on each side of me, just to try and keep me warm. But because the wind was so strong, it was blowing the warm air behind me. So that was a bit of a bust. And trying to stay warm when the environment is a little on the cooler side. So that was interesting. But the audience all still came, and the colorful rain gear in front of me was worth standing there for. And I think we all had a lot of fun in spite of the weather. And then once the show came down, maybe a few minutes after, then it really dropped, but the rain kind of held. So it was a challenge. And you know, it's like, all right, we've done it. Let's go home. let's get ourselves back into warmth.
You have been in the entertainment, musical, theater industry since a very, very young age. Right. So I was curious about your process of developing a character. Has it evolved or changed over time?
Yeah, I'm much more diligent with research now and really asking questions and not being shy about asking for help. And, you know, as a younger person, I think you can do everything, or yet you don't need anybody's assistance or research or whatever. But in terms of, for example, playing a character that is very much anchored in a specific historical background, it is extremely helpful to read and to really get on the internet and start looking for clues as to how to play someone, as to what the societal constraints may have been for a particular character. What is the historical context of why this person does this thing, or why that person does that thing? And, you know, how were women perceived in, say, you know, the 1800s and in England, or in the United States, or in somewhere in Asia? Which will then give a clue to how I can play someone and how to navigate what those challenges are. But yeah, it's definitely evolved. I'm less shy about asking for help now that I'm older. And it's actually fun trying to get as many clues from every department that I'm able to hit up with, whether it's the music department or whether it's a director that I'm working with, or just, you know, getting on the internet on my own and just trying to, you know, to dig up as much information as I can.
Do you have any musical inspirations or influences when you were growing up, or even to this day? Were there certain voices that stood out to you and you aspired to maybe sound like one day?
Yeah, I grew up in the 70s, where a lot of female vocalists were really focused on lyrics. Folks like Karen Carpenter, Olivia Newton-John, like those were the two pop influences that I had. And I had a cousin who would come over, who lived a couple of streets away, and she was much older, and she would come and babysit me, and she would have her guitar with her. And I remember her just playing music on it, and then I would start singing with her. That's where it kind of started. And I would just find myself gravitating towards vocalists who really paid attention to the lyrics of something. So, you know, where the storytelling was really, really important. And as I got older and I started listening to more and more people, and I think as far as musical theater vocalists, Judy Kuhn is one that I just found myself like listening to. And I think the two things that I really remember vividly were her as Cosette in the Broadway cast recording of Les Mis, and hearing her sing someone else's story from Chess. You know, and then later I discover she was also Pocahontas, the singing voice for that. And anytime I get to hear her sing, she's just spectacular. To this day, she's still incredible. Loved her. I loved watching her in Fun Home and Days and Days, and watching her sing Days and Days really broke me.
Lea Salonga will be at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on December 2nd at 7:30 with stage, screen, and everything in between. You can go to troymusichall.org for more information. I'm a Broadway mega fan. I love the performing arts. I've been in the performing arts since I was in middle school to this day. And having the opportunity to talk to you, I can't not ask you this. How did you play Kim in Miss Saigon? Because it's one of my favorite cast recordings as well. And that character takes such an emotional journey throughout that two and a half hour show, portray those emotions. I just wonder, what did you do to prepare for that and to get you to a point where you can do that, but also maintain yourself as well?
I think because I was so young and quite sheltered, all credit goes to my mother. I think that I didn't pay too much. This is a weird thing to say. I didn't pay too much attention to not so much the emotional journey, but you know, my thing was like, okay, this is the expectation. I think this is what I'm supposed to do, but I really don't have any emotional background in this to do this authentically. I mean, I had not had relationships of the romantic sort, and now I'm expected to play that. So it was a little difficult. So I asked a lot of questions from people regarding, you know, what is it like? What does it feel like to actually fall in love with someone? I don't understand. I don't understand what this character is going through. So I think by the end of the day, the director took it upon himself to demonstrate a few things for me, all in good humor and all with the intention of getting me up to speed in order to portray it authentically or authentically enough. And so I think once he did that, my brain went, why didn't you just do that at the very beginning of this process? And then I would have known what to do. So it's one of those things where, thank goodness, I didn't understand what heartbreak really was. So it made it actually, ironically, so much easier to play. So I think it worked to my advantage that I was so young and inexperienced, that I didn't have any baggage or, you know, romantic relationship trauma. So I was able to just, okay, I'll just do this and go through the motions of doing this. And if it looks real enough for you all out there, then okay, that's it. So I was able to navigate through all of that and still come out relatively unscathed by the whole thing. So I think being sheltered was much better for me as a human being to then get to play that part.
You will be who you want to be. You can choose whatever heaven grants. As long as you can have your chance, I swear I'll give my life for you. Sometimes I wake up reaching for him. I feel his shadow brush my head, but there's just moonlight on my bed. Was he a ghost?
On the topic of Broadway, you've been in many shows. So Miss Saigon, like we were just talking about, Les Mis, Flower Drum Song, Allegiance, Once on This Island, and most recently Stephen Sondheim's Old Friends. But during your time in the Broadway theater world, you have been a very stark advocate for equal representation. So, you know, I think about the show Here Lies Love, which you produced and starred in, which had an entirely all-Filipino cast. So I'm just wondering, do you still think there's more work that needs to be done?
Of course. There always is going to be work that needs to be done. There are always going to be setbacks. There are always going to be obstacles, but it only means, that you gotta fight harder to get shows that need to be seen by audiences on Broadway to, to get eyes on them. And sometimes the purpose of one show is to provide a stepping stone for another to keep things moving forward. And, having been part of shows with either 100% Asian casts or 90, 95% Asian cast has been, it's been quite a challenge. Things like Flower Drum Song, things like Allegiance, but those are worth doing if only to get eyes on us, even for a little bit, in order to get the next show to sort of take that and then lay down a stone for somebody else. And now, fast forward, we've got Maybe Happy Ending, which is enjoying enormous success on Broadway with an entirely Asian company right now. And it's one of the best things that I've seen on Broadway. And it's so beautiful and authentically Korean and, it and relatable and wonderful. And, I'm hoping that more people get to see it. And I hope that it goes on tour so that more people get to see that. As an example of authentic storytelling from anywhere in the world and how that can find footing and success. But there's always still more work to be done. And Asia, being Asia, is incredibly diverse. So I'm hoping for more stories to come out of that world and hopefully find a footing with audiences everywhere.
To see it's better.
I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far. I can't go back to where I used to be. Every turn a surprise. Every moment.
So I also can't not ask you this, and that is about Disney. So you have been the singing voices for Princess Jasmine and Mulan. And I mean, what was it like receiving the calls to do that? And, the song A Whole New World winning an Oscar. And I mean, I can't not mention this. You were just in another mega hit animated film, K-pop Demon Hunters as well. I mean, this is crazy.
One line. It's all one line.
Hey, but it's one line.
It's one line. It's one line. And, you go into those films hoping for the best. And, it's a funny thing about you mentioned about getting the call to do any of these films. I had to audition and I had to beat out a lot of people in order to get to do these films, except for K-pop Demon Hunters. That one was just a discussion, and then here comes one line. And I am so happy that I got to be part of it. I remember the experience of doing Mulan and Aladdin as wonderful, but you never really know how an audience is going to receive any of the stuff that, that stuff that gets released, but you hope for the best, and that is all you can hope for. With Aladdin, that was just a monster hit, and it still kind of is. And there's multiple generations have seen this film, and then a lot of young Asian women have been inspired by Mulan. I mean, yours truly included. When I was in my 20s and saw that, I'm like, I can't believe this, but it's leaving something very specific in my soul, and it's giving me so much strength right now. And then you've got K-pop Demon Hunters, which is, I don't think phenomenal can even begin to describe the success that it is currently enjoying. And I am so over the moon that it is enjoying all of the success. Now it's nominated for how many Grammys? Like five? It's incredible. And I'm just so happy for everybody who was involved, for EJ and Audrey and Ray and Andrew and Kevin and oh my God, and Maggie Kang and Chris Applebaum and Ian Eisendrath and all of these folks who got to be even a tiny little part of it. But all of these folks are enjoying their flowers, and I'm so happy and overjoyed for all of them. And it was so worth doing that one line. Oh my God. I still can't believe that it is as successful as it is, because you go in and you hope for the best. You hope that an audience will like it. But this was completely unexpected. I think the success blindsided everybody, but it's so well deserved by, you know, everyone that's been working so hard to create this music, write this music, write this story. And I'm glad that there are sequels. It's amazing.
You have created and released your own albums, including a Christmas one. But what is it like, I mean, creating your own music rather than, you know, singing a theater score that's presented in front of you? I mean, do you have a song that you particularly enjoyed creating in the numerous albums that you have?
I think the album that I really enjoyed doing was the previous holiday album, like the one that just came out last year. That took a minute to do because we started it right before the COVID lockdowns. And we only just finished it in early 2024. So that was like a 4-year journey that this album went through, you know, and as we got close to completing it, we added more music. We ended up taking out one song because it just didn't seem to fit in with the rest of the album at this point. And it was just so much fun to finally finish, because it had been, you know, we had been sitting on it and we wanted to create this, but it was like, how are we going to do this if I can't get into a studio and record? So it was quite a challenge. And then life got in the way. And so we had to put it off. But when we finally had the bandwidth and the studio and the time to finally complete the album, it was just, you know, a moment of joy when we finally released it. It was so satisfying to do.
I've seen many viral clips from The Voice Kids from the Philippines. And you being a judge, were a judge. What was that experience like, sitting in the chair and hearing those super talented young children sing, and then also being able to coach them? I've seen so many viral clips online from specifically The Voice Kids Philippines. So I just
ridiculous?
Would love to know.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And blind auditions normally go for like 4 days. And oh, wow. Just listening to these kids that had these voices. And it's like, how many lifetimes did this child live? Because it's like there are old souls in some of these bodies. And it's kind of nuts, just positively nuts, that these kids were just this talented and beyond anything that we had ever heard. It was always crazy. And every time I would, you know, sit in the chair with my back turned to whoever was about to sing, it was like, how do we pick? It's like you want to turn for everybody because everybody is so good, you know. But then after the first couple of days, like, you got to be really, really discerning. Like, okay, clearly we can't have everybody. You know, we have a finite number of members that each of these teams can have. And it's, I don't know. It was so heartbreaking turning some folks down. But wow, it makes me feel incredibly proud that the level of talent coming out of the Philippines is, even from children, is just beyond, absolutely beyond.
So you have received many theater awards, including a Tony, but recently you were awarded as a Time 100 Impact Award for, quote, being a lifelong role model for children of color. And next year, you will be the first Filipino to be honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I mean, what does receiving honors and awards like this mean? Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's great.
It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. It's like, wow. Yeah, like the Time magazine one kind of went by in a blur because I went to Singapore and then went right back. And I don't even remember where I was. I think I was in the U.S. or living in the U.S. at the time. But for that Hollywood Walk of Fame thing is going to be, it's going to be nuts. It's something I never expected to ever get, just because It's wonderful. And you walk, if you ever walked in Hollywood and you've seen that walk of fame, it's like, this is just the coolest thing. But I never ever thought I would ever get one, because why? And then here it is, and it's coming, and it's happening in March. And I'm like, this is nuts. This is absolutely crazy and wonderful. Yeah. And I'm still kind of speechless. And yeah, the processing, it's taking a minute to process what this actually means. And yeah, it's wonderful. I think my friends and my family are more excited. I'm just constantly stunned. And there are days when I forget that this is about to happen. But yeah, it's wonderful. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's very much deserved. So I'm very excited for you.
Thank you.
But my final question to you, Leah, is just, what is next for you? What are your plans? What's going on in your world?
What's going on in my world? Well, besides this video game that I'm currently playing, which is spectacular. And I love that it has a female heroine. Actually, this is like the second video game where the protagonist is a woman. So, and it's an Asian woman. So that should be a clue as to the game I'm playing now. And I've just started recording for a DreamWorks animated project called Forgotten Island, which will star her and Liza Soberano and Manny Jacinto, Dave Franco, and a few other folks whose names are now escaping me. But it's from the same folks that did, I think they did a recent Groot movie and a recent Puss in Boots film. So it's going to come from folks who know what they're doing. And it focuses more on Filipino culture. So it's a Filipino-ish story. So it's very exciting. It's quite exciting, and it's coming out next year. So I'm, you know, very excited for that to come out.
Again, Leah Salonga will be at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Tuesday, December 2nd at 7:30 with her stage, screen, and everything in between tour. You can go to troymusichall.org for more information. Well, Leah, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with me today.
Oh, you're so welcome.
As a theater kid, my life is complete. But it was so lovely speaking with you, and
Thank you.
I wish you luck with the rest of your performances for this tour, and as well as your future endeavors.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. No, thank you. Once again, you can go to troymusichall.org for more information. I'm Madeline Reynolds, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I'm dreaming tonight of a place I love even more than I usually do. And although I know it's a long on the tree.